The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you on this day. It's the 26th of August, Friday. It is also the beginning of round two of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The Barclays underway in round two at Bethpage Black in Farmingdale, New York. Patrick Reed, Martin Laird, both came in with 66s in the first round. They share the first round lead, and certainly a lot of top names because it's mostly top names in this tournament. Top 125 made it. A lot of top names near the top of the leaderboard. That's a lot of tops, isn't it? Ricky Fowler shot a 67. Jason Day a 68. And Jordan Spieth was on his way to also being at a 68 or somewhere in that vicinity, and he gave them all back. And Jordan Spieth has got to be a little bit upset with his round right now because he finishes at even par, but he was in really good shape until he gave some bogeys back. And he's having trouble with the driver. There's no two ways around it. He's definitely having trouble keeping that ball in the fairway. And once you hit at Bethpage Black, if you've ever been there or seen golf at Bethpage Black, you realize that you can't miss too many fairways because you're hitting out of the straw, the rough stuff almost constantly. And that's what happened with Spieth. Bubba Watson also at even par. Rory McIlroy also even par. So far from being out of it, they all shot 71s. But they could have gone lower. And as much as Spieth is having trouble with his driver, we've seen that Rory continues to have troubles with the putter as he missed another couple of short putts yesterday in his first round of the Barclays Championship. We have Steve Elkington, former player on the PGA Tour, major champion winner. He's the host of Secret Golf on Amazon Video. He'll be joining us a little bit later to explain exactly what that is, a very unique show, very unique programming, and also a distribution of that. And we'll talk with Steve Elkington coming up in a little bit. Bobby Raymond is in the studios in Nashville along with Frank Bassett. And we have Brendan Sweeney, our good friend from French Lick Resort, joining us, but not from French Lick Resort. He's actually at a golf tournament getting ready to get started at Grand Cypress in Orlando. And this is for a very, very worthwhile cause. It's benefiting the families of those Orlando shooting victims. Happened back on June the 12th. We all remember at that nightclub in Orlando, 49 people had their lives taken. And this is a golf tournament that Brendan is helping to put together and organize. And it all benefits the families of those people in Orlando, the families of the victims. So, Frank, let's start with you. I introduced you and I didn't get a chance to say anything. How you doing? Everything okay this morning?
Everything's good. Just we have a pollen alert in Nashville, Tennessee, so nobody can breathe here. It's just brutal. The Indians called this place the Valley of Death, by the way.
Oh, they did? Okay,
they did.
Well.
Because
yeah.
It sits down in a bowl, and all the pollen just settles on top of us down here. So,
and on top of that, you've got construction at your house, too, right? So you got all that kind of stuff.
It just,
you got movers and stuff coming in, right?
So it never stops, you know?
Yeah.
Never
so you got, you got a lot of sinus issues that are happening. So hopefully you'll hang in there. If you have to sneeze, just go off mic a little bit if you need to. Is Brendan with us? Is he ready to go?
I don't think he's with us yet. I think Bobby's trying to get him on the line right now. But it is a good cause down there. He's Stuart Appleby is there with them. Holly Gagan, she's the host of Golf Insiders in Orlando, will be joining us. And it's at Grand Cypress, which is, as we all know, is a fabulous resort. I mean, it's just beautiful down there. Great golf courses. The original course I love. Then Nicklaus built his homage to St. Andrews there, which is another course at Grand Cypress, which is really tough. It's just a bugbear golf course. But a lot going on.
Yeah, there's
a lot going on today.
Did you get a chance to watch the Barclays yesterday? Did you watch some?
I did watch it yesterday. I absolutely did. But
through the
before
movers
we get into that, I want to...
Sure.
Exactly. And the electricians and the whole deal. Yeah. You have a tournament on Monday that you'll be hosting.
Yes.
That
yes.
you put together for the fallen officers' families in Dallas. So where's that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, kind of similar to what Brendan's doing, but also for the families of the officers. Five officers shot in early July in Dallas that most people are aware of. Happened shortly after, less than a month after the Orlando tragedy. And it's unfortunate in this country that we seem to not be able to go more than about a month without another tragedy hitting. But it hit in Dallas. Those five officers were killed. So their families continue to have to mourn and get by without their father, their husband, their brother, son, whoever. And we all sometimes don't realize when it's not you, it's tragic and we feel for them. But then, you know, our lives kind of move on. And similar to what's in Orlando, your lives move on. But yeah. those people that were and the families of those people still have to deal with it. And so we're trying to raise whatever we can. And so far, the response has been very, very good that we can actually hand checks to the families of the five fallen officers. And it's going to be at El Dorado Country Club, which is in McKinney, kind of a north suburb of Dallas. And it's going to be Monday morning at 8 o'clock. And all the proceeds we get, every dime we have, we're getting everything as much as we can donated so that we can not give it to an organization that we hope gets it to the families. We want to actually, and we will actually hand it to the families. Whatever the checks are, we're going to divide it in five. Yeah. If we raise $20,000, whatever it is, we'll divide it in five and give those families something. Not that it's all about money, but at least it'll help them not have to worry about that for a little bit. Hopefully, offset while costs. They're going through, while they're going through so many other things that they're going through.
Also, so. I know Brendan's on the line with us, but before we go to Brendan, live from Grand Cypress, Smiley Kaufman did something very nice too. He's an LSU graduate. Yep. Hard for me to say that, being from Ole Miss, but they're our arch nemesis. But Smiley did a good thing, and all the players, if you'll notice at the Barclays now, will be wearing purple ribbons somewhere on their body, hat, whatever, shirt. And it's in honor of the 60,000 families that were displaced, basically. 60,000 homes were destroyed during the big floods there in Louisiana. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and we got to be super thankful and super blessed here and thank the Lord for all the good things that we have on us. And got to give back. You're doing it. Brendan's doing it. I'm doing it. Bobby, all of us. So that's what
Smiley,
it's all about. That's what
Smiley had a hard day yesterday. Shot 4 over 75. There were some guys that had a tough time at Bethpage Black, and needless to say, it's a kind of golf course that If you're not really on, you can find yourself. As a matter of fact, I saw Bubba Watson at one point. They lost a golf ball. I mean, it's not often you lose a golf ball in a pro tournament because there's so many people around to say it's right there or over this way.
Yeah.
They have cameras and everything else. They could not find his golf ball, and he had to go back, re-tee, double bogeys the hole. So, it was Bethpage can definitely take its toll on people for sure.
It's brutal. Hey, Brendan's with us, I believe. Bobby Raymond, do we have Brendan Sweeney?
Brendan, hello. You there?
Bueller?
Yeah.
Bueller?
Well, I've never had so much
time
in my life.
There's Brendan Sweeney.
There you go. How you doing?
I'm living the dream, man. How are you guys doing?
Wow. Not too bad. Not too bad. We're trying to get hold of you there. The tournament gets started that you're taking part in here at Grand Cypress. Is it like underway right now, or do you have a little bit of time before you guys tee it up?
No, we're currently at the seventh hole at the Wahlburgers tent. With the Pulse United, all the funds are going towards the folks of Orlando who had the tragedy about a month ago. Remember, we talked about it right when it happened. And my God, this lady just shanked the ball. Oh, my Lord. But it's great. We have Charletta Sorenstam's on our tee box right now. We have Stuart Appleby and the whole cast of characters. But I have a really great player here, Miss Holly Gagan, who's on the Golf Insiders here in Orlando. And she's one of the organizers of the event. So if I can hand it over to her real quick, she'd love to say hi. You guys mind?
Sure. No problem.
Love to. Yeah.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Holly. Hey. How you doing?
Doing great. Beautiful day here in the Sunshine State.
So give us an idea of certainly because it touched your heart, I'm sure, but the reasons for getting involved in this tournament. There's a lot of work that goes into these tournaments, and you haven't had an awful lot of time to put this one together because of the tragedy that happened back in June. But tell us why you wanted to take part in this.
Well, you know, I think one thing about the golf community is that, you know, we're all about giving back. You know, PGA professionals all around the country that organize tournaments, and I was contacted by the tournament director at Grand Cypress, and he said, you know, we really would like to do something and put an event together. And my main day gig is a company called Golf Marketing Services, and they asked if I would be interested. I said, absolutely. And so we got a group of us together, five of us on the organizing committee. We're a small village, but we're a strong and passionate one. And, yes, we've literally pulled this together in about 6 weeks. Pretty amazing.
Is there any number that you're trying to come up with as far as what you will be able to raise? Certainly anything you raise is going to be beneficial, but have you had pretty good response from the people in the community there in Orlando?
amazing response. We were sold out. We were sold out by, I don't know, about 10 or 12 groups. So that was just really overwhelming and amazing. And we're hoping to at least reach our goal of 50,000. We've got ongoing donations coming into our online website. So even people that didn't participate in the tournament can still contribute. We've got Part 3 memorial signs that you can buy online for $49 in memory of the victims at Pulse. And just a lot of ways that people around the country even can participate and be part of Golf United.
And tell us what that website is for people that are listening to the show that certainly can continue doing the donations and add any money to the total after the tournament's over, I'm sure. So what is the website?
It's golfunited.org. Golfunited.org. And 100% of the proceeds are going to the two major fundraising entities here in Orlando, One Orlando Fund and Pulse of Orlando.
We're talking with Holly Gagan and also Brendan Sweeney. They're out on the golf course at Grand Cypress helping to put some money together in a tournament that they're helping to organize, benefiting the families of the Orlando shooting back in June, 49 victims of that shooting. If you would, Holly, and I'm not trying to get too sentimental here, but take us back to that day, because when it happens in your community, we hear about it all the time all over the world and different terrorist acts and things, and we have almost become hardened to it. But that had to be, when it happens in Orlando, it happens to people that are at least in the same community. It's a real kind of a kick in the head almost that, wow, it can happen anywhere, can it?
Well, I'll tell you, it was an ironic situation because I was driving to South Florida for an event on that Sunday. So I had set my alarm early, about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I flipped on the TV to catch the weather report. And the next thing I know, I'm seeing breaking news and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we've had another one of these mass shootings. And as you know, this thing was unfolding real time, I realized very quickly in about 10 minutes, oh my gosh, this is happening right here in my city. In Orlando, it was, needless to say, shocking and horrifying.
The golf tournament that you guys are playing. First of all, Grand Cypress, congratulations for them for stepping up too, because it's a top golf course in the country. So the people are getting an awfully good chance to not only help a great cause, but play a pretty stout golf course in the process.
It sure is. We're playing the new course, which is actually a replica of the old course, and it's just a fantastic, fantastic venue. We've got a little breeze going today, so the golfing gods are treating us very nicely. As you know, it can be a little toasty this time of year, and we seem to have dodged a little bit of the tropical depression out there in the golf, but it's just a spectacular day, and Grand Cypress has just really gone beyond and above in terms of being our host venue as well as our hospitality venue. So we're looking forward to a tasty lunch when this is all over and some fun with a silent auction and some tournament awards.
Keep Sweeney out of the Bloody Marys, Holly.
Yes.
Keep Sweeney out of the Bloody Marys. Brendan's filling me up right now.
And by the way,
oh, Lord,
make sure that there's a marshal with Brendan when he's playing, because he has a tendency to use the foot wedge.
Cheat.
A few more times than our customer.
I'm not sure what color these shorts are that he showed up in today.
Really? But, really?
It's a little frightening.
Wow.
Hey, Holly, real quick, let me ask you a question. Is Barb Muncha there? I know she plays out of Grand Cypress. Is she playing?
No, I think Barb's out on the Legends Tour right now. In fact, I know they just finished up at French Lick and had a fantastic tournament there. But she teaches here out of Grand Cypress. And we saw her earlier. We've got Charlotta Thornstam out today, Stuart Appleby supporting the event, you know, once again giving their time 100%, and we really appreciate what they are doing for us as well.
Well, that's fabulous that you're doing that. Tim Matthews, by the way, our host, has a tournament on Monday in Dallas that he organized very quickly, charity event for the fallen officers' families in Dallas. So it's a shame that we have to do these tournaments for those reasons, but it's fabulous, in my opinion, that that golf is so giving. And it's not an elitist sport. To me, it's a sport that gives back constantly. And good on you for doing what you're doing, Holly.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Holly, could we talk to Brendan for another second if he is indeed coherent?
Absolutely. Let me find him. Just a sec.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, Holly. We appreciate it. Yeah, let me find him. Let me give you a hint,
this
Holly.
This could be trouble.
He's going to be near the beer cart.
we got Deep Eddy vodka today.
Ooh, really? Good for you.
Yeah, it's all good. But I tell you what, it's a great cause. I know with your tournament coming up on Monday, Tim, I mean, you know, for all the wrong reasons, we're doing the right thing. I guess that's the takeaway from this.
So. Yeah, well said.
It is a necessary evil in today's world that you hopefully have to help out a little bit, but yeah, you wish you didn't have to do it for these reasons. But it is what it is. Holly was just saying that you guys have been really successful. It sounds like you're going to make quite a bit of money. There's something tangible about that, isn't there, Brendan? That this money is actually going, instead of it going to a website or to somebody far, far away, which is still fine and good as well. This is actually going in your community. I mean, it's going to people right there that need the help and the benefit of this. It's kind of got to make your heart feel a little bit warm, doesn't it?
Yeah. And Mayor Buddy Dyer is out here today with his staff, and a lot of the first responders are out here as well. And it's a great cause. The folks here, you know, they have the one Orlando fund that all the local businesses here. We're at the Wahlburgers tent here right now, and they're selling T-shirts, and all the T-shirts they sell, Donnie Wahlburgers going to match that. So,
oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it's a big push, and they're getting ready to open a new restaurant here in Orlando, too. So, yeah, it's a feel-good thing. You know, we're just doing little, you know, a lot of people lifting little things make a big lift one day. So,
right.
We appreciate your support, guys, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great tournament on Monday. Holly G says,
thanks, guys. We love you.
She loves you. She hasn't even met you. She's Orlando Strong.
Orlando Strong.
Hey.
Thank goodness for Bloody Marys, and thank goodness for tomato juice, which was invented at the French Lick Resort back in 1917. Deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest.
Hey, what color are those shorts you're wearing? Just curious.
It's more like a flamingo. Like a...
Wow. Incognito, huh?
There's like... This is like a rainbow fest out here. And to be called out for wearing these shorts, man, it must be pretty bad.
Seriously.
And with those legs, too, buddy.
I'm wearing a Freddie Mercury-type tank top, too, so I'm really
oh, great, great. Okay, let's not go there.
Of course, at Grand Cypress, the Wahlburgers tent in the seventh hole.
Wow. Golf back United. To you guys in the studio. Yeah, okay.
Take care, guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for your support.
Thanks, Brendan. Our man on the scene, Brendan Sweeney. He's trying to pretend like he's a newsman now, covering it live. Let's go to Brendan Sweeney out on the course. Brendan. Anyway, good effort there for Brendan and for Holly G.
Yeah.
And Stuart Appleby and the hundreds and hundreds of other people that we're not naming that are helping to put this tournament together. So I hope they have a lot of success and some very well-needed money being given to the families of those 49 victims back in Orlando. Hey, Frank, by the way, also came out yesterday, speaking of helping others, not in such a tragic way, if you will, but the AT&T Byron Nelson announced that this year's tournament back in May added up to $5.8 million that they benefited their Momentous Institute, which is the Salesmanship Club of Dallas has run this tournament since 1968, and the Momentous Institute helps children with educational needs and therapeutic needs and all kinds of other needs as well. Since 1920, Momentous Institute, and that's where all the money goes. They have now raised, since 1968, the Salesmanship Club, $149 million, which is more than any tournament on the tour, which, of course, it is an older tournament on the tour since 1968. $149 million they've raised. So, and what you're saying about how generous the golf community can be and how it is an everyday man sport. It really is. And I think we can thank Tiger and a lot of other golfers as well for making it.
Arnold.
It certainly maybe was, if you want to go back far enough, a country club sport. It still is to some degree, but anybody can play. And you and I play on municipal courses and we play for $39 and it's accessible to a lot of different people. And I think it's such a great first tee and everything else has done such a great job to instill the sportsmanship and the camaraderie and everything that golf is known for. But this is a big part of it, too, and it's fundraising. And that's what the PGA Tour has done
for years and years and years. Applaud the people at the Nelson and the Salesmanship Club of Dallas for putting another $5.8 million into a very good, worthwhile cause here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So congratulations.
That's a fabulous group of guys. Group of guys. And I've been around them some. I know you are all the time. Yeah. And, it's incredible. Hey, on a lighter note real quick.
Sure.
Patrick Reed, you know, the enforcer, you know, whatever we want to call him, breaking up the gavel, New York Stock Exchange gavel. They gave him the gavel. Gavel as a memento.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
He said basically it's just, you know, the handle part goes into a hole in the gavel part, right? He said it just kind of came up.
It came apart.
Right? People are making it sound like I just demolished this thing because they gave it to him. He said, I just put it back in like it was and put a little glue in there and it's all fine and good. But it is, if you see the video, it's pretty funny because not only does he crack up, but all the very proper businessmen that are standing there around him all kind of go, whoa, what was that? You know, so it was kind of a different event than you normally see when the guys close the closing bell at the exchange. So it was kind of cool about that. Hey, by the way, Johnny Vegas has now joined. You mentioned Patrick Reed. Just joined Reed and Laird at the top of the leaderboard. Johnny Vegas is 2 under through 4 holes here in the early part of the second round of the Barclays, the first FedEx Cup tournament. So all three of those golfers are now at 5 under. J.B. Holmes, Ryan Moore, and a bunch of others at 4 under. Ryan Moore is 2 under for his round so far through 4 holes as well. So Ryan Moore has gone from 2 to 4 under for the tournament. So a lot of great golf. A lot of the good golfers still yet to go off. Ricky Fowler, Jason Day haven't gone off yet. They'll go off a little bit later on. Justin Rose later, Mickelson, Dustin Johnson all going off a little bit later too. But here's the bad news. If you happen to be a Jordan Spieth fan, he's through 3 holes and he's 2 over. So Jordan Spieth is going from even, and he's quickly gotten to 2 over par. So things are not going well. I'm guessing it's his drive. I can only
his
guess.
Transition. His transition, Tim. Yeah. Watch his swing.
How can he not fix that, Frank? I mean, how does he not fix that? He's got instructors. I don't know. He's got videos. How can you not do that?
You know, it's like in the movie Tin Cup. Somebody stop this guy. Somebody tackle this guy. Yeah. Tell him that if you watch him, he's starting his downswing before he finishes that backswing right now. He's jumping at the ball because of the sheer length of this course, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, he's not a short hitter. They keep saying, he's not a long ball hitter. Well, he's not. You know, he's not DJ,
short either. No, he's fine.
But he's not short.
No, he's in the top half of the tour. So he's fine as far as distance goes. And he might be 14 yards behind Dustin and these other guys, but I mean, he can get to where he needs to be on the fairways. He just has to get into a fairway. And as we were saying earlier, you look at Bethpage and so many other top courses when you're playing FedEx Cup playoffs or majors, they don't let you miss the fairway by 20 yards and not get penalized for it. You're going to. And then you got to hit you got to hit it out. You got to hit it on the green. You got to make your putt just for your par. So you're not even getting many chances at birdies when that's the way you're playing the game. And he needs to somehow figure out how to find fairways it's going to be drastically different. I think Tiger, you know, people say Tiger missed a lot of fairways. He did. And I'll also say Tiger was stronger in the day than Jordan is now. Jordan isn't incredibly strong and long. He's fine. And like you said, he's not back of the pack. But Tiger could muscle it out from some thick, rough lies after he'd miss a fairway and still get on the green. And he'd still have his 2-putt for his par or even make some birdies off of it. And Spieth just isn't quite strong enough to hit out of 8 inches of hay and get it all the way 180 yards up to the green. So he's leaving it short, chipping it and making bogeys.
Well, speaking of a great golfer and a great guy and a funny guy, and he had one of the funniest commercials on TV, I'm going to back off and let you guys talk a little bit since I'm here in the Allergy Bowl of America called Nashville, Tennessee, sneezing. But we have a good friend on the line right now, so to heck with the break. Why don't you just bring him in?
Let's just go right to it here. The name of the show is Secret Golf. The host is Steve Elkington. You all know Steve Elkington for his many, many years on the tour and one of the top golfers in the world. And now he's doing a TV show that is unique, and the distribution of it is unique as well. It's distributed on Amazon Video, and it's called Secret Golf, and he joins us now, Steve Elkington. Steve, thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, guys. I was enjoying listening about the rundown there on Jordan Spieth's woes and the course this week. Forget about the show. Let's talk about the FedEx Cup. you know.
Well, we'll get to your show. That's a good point. We'll get to your show, certainly. But how have you – I assume you saw some of it yesterday, the first round. The second round is just underway right now. But we're talking about Spieth, and he got to 3-under. He was looking actually pretty solid. He gave them all back, and he got to even, and now he's 2-over again. We're talking about Spieth, so while we're talking about it, what do you think about Spieth? He can't find a fairway, and it seems to be that's the start of his whole problem, trying to hit out of this rough all the time.
I think it's great. I think it's great that they have big rough on these playoff events because, let's face it, you shouldn't win the tournament or you shouldn't be in contention if you're in the rough all the time, right? So it doesn't matter if he's strong, weak, or whatever, but the guy who's going to hit it straight, he can play, and that's how he's going to go up to the leaderboard. I see on the Jonathan Vegas. I was speaking to Jonathan Vegas. He's a Houston boy, and he's on a real big emotional uptick because he just won the Canadian Open. He's sort of come out of nowhere, and this is kind of what it's like in the FedEx Cup. You know, you got some guys that are tired, some guys that are surging, and I suppose at some level I sort of long for the days when it used to be just the top 30 money winners that would get into the final 30 and all that, and it was a very simple system. Leading money winner, player of the year, Vardon Trophy winner. Now it's so complex, it's quite honestly, it kind of numbs it over a little bit for me, unless you're thinking about just only who can win.
We're talking with Steve Elkington, PGA Tour winner and host of Secret Golf. The other guys that are in this tournament we were talking about that are actually starting better than Jordan does, and that's Jason Day, had a pretty good opening round. Ricky Fowler also, who's been in a bit of a funk, but Ricky shot 33-34, and he's right there near the top of the leaderboard. If you had to put your crystal ball in front of you and make a prediction, who do you think is going to come out of this particular tournament, not the FedEx Cup playoffs, but the Barclays? Are you liking anybody in particular?
Yeah, it's too early to tell, to be honest with you. This weekend at Bethpage is going to be a bit of a slugfest, I think. You know, it is a long course just from fact. You know, it's very long yardage. What is it, 7,700 or something? 7,600?
Something like that, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, so, you know, you would say, well, that favors the guy that hits it straight, but it favors a guy that hits it long, but as we already know, that hitting it long in the rough is not going to win anyway. So it's going to take some precise ball striking this week. Patrick Reed, he's been on an amazing journey of golf. I mean, he played the John Deere, he went to the Olympics, he's back. I mean, how does this guy do it? I mean, he seems like he's and the girls, I watch the girls as much as I do the boys, and they went straight from Rio to Canada. I think back to my days, and I was like, 2 or 3 weeks was enough. You know, it seems to stretch these guys out a little bit. It seems a very much a momentum series. This, as much as anything, it's almost endurance. This playoff series, because it is, you got to get hot. Obviously, I don't like that they're going to play. Whoever wins this week gets three times as many points as the majors did this year. I mean, it's just.
Right.
I'm not crazy about the system. Me personally, I tune into the golf to watch some of my friends and just see how the guys are hitting it. You know, see the good swings. I'm not really worried about the bigger picture that much. But if I have to pick a guy this week, I'm going to go with Reed. He wants to get on the Ryder Cup. Why not?
Yeah, I mean that's the other part of this, is that there's still points to be made and guys going for the Ryder Cup. He's currently eighth, and the first eight get in. But if he drops too far, he'd have to rely on being a captain's pick. So there's certainly a lot more at stake here than just the Barclays Championship. We're talking with Steve Elkington, host of Secret Golf on Amazon Video. So let's ask about this. First of all, describe your show. It's a unique concept for a golf show, isn't it?
The show is a very simple concept. I grew up in Australia. My parents moved around a lot. My father was in the bank, and each time we moved, my brother and I, who's a good player, we used to always be so upset about leaving the town we were at because there was these guys that swirl around these little clubs that were such characters. And everyone knows of the characters that hang out at clubs and play golf and why they love golf. And basically the show, I started the show 3 years ago. This will be our third season. Basically, I go around the country and I play public courses. I go into the town to find out what's cool about the town, and I take a couple of local characters and we play a little three-hole showdown in the show, and just find out why people love golf. I mean, we've done all kind of crazy places. We try to find the eccentric sort of little courses, like we play the Angola State Prison, where there's a nine-hole course that wraps around the prison that the guards play. We've gone to Death Valley, the lowest course to sea level in the world. Just finished shooting a show with Jackie Burke and Willie McRae with the 1951 Ryder Cup. They're the only two alive. So we do off-the-beaten-track kind of stuff, and people love that show. We get about 50% men and women watch that show, and now it's on Amazon Video, which personally I really like better than TV because you can watch it anywhere in the world. My mom and dad can see it in Australia, and you can watch it anytime you want.
Yeah, so if it's on Amazon Video, forgive my ignorance to the new technology of the world, because it wasn't that long ago that we're kind of the same age that you had a few channels, and that's how you saw your programs. And now it's Amazon's got TV, and Google's got – everybody's got some programming and stuff. So do they have to get the app? Is that the thing you download Amazon app?
You can go to Amazon Video. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you'll know already that you get a certain amount of videos. But at Amazon Video itself, there's a section in there called add-on subscriptions, and we sit in that space. So if you go to Secret Golf, you can add on subscriptions for $8 a month to have Secret Golf on any of your devices. We put up 13 shows already this month. We'll put up another 13 shows of season one next month, and I shoot three kinds of content. I do the show, which we call magazine-style show. I have 10 tour players that work for us that are members that are on the Secret Golf team, and I'm currently shooting a personal channel around each one of them. So, for example, Jason Duffner or Jason Kokrak, each one of these guys will have a personal channel where you can click on their videos of how they play out of the bunker, how they hit high shots, low shots. Everything that they know about their game will be on their personal channel. I have Stacey Lewis, number three player in the world, and Gabby Lopez on the LPGA Tour. And then the third part we do is we're going to do matches like the old Shell, Think Wonderful World of Golf, where we put pros against one another, and we go around and we play some of these famous courses where people can, you know, my whole deal is about, my whole life, everyone's always said to me, and I'm sure it's all the other pros, is, how do you do that? Or, you know, what are you thinking on this hole? So the show, the concept that Secret Golf's been around 5 years is I want you to step backstage and see what we're talking about.
It's a phenomenal concept, and I can't wait to start watching it, and I'm kind of blown away. It's got to be full-time for you. You're saying how many shows and how many programming you have there. Do you get a chance to play golf outside of this show at all?
Yeah, I have a son that's at the University of Houston, currently sophomore, and I try to play every day for a few hours with him and be around the team. You know, the Champions Tour was something that I thought that I was going to be really interested in doing, but when the show came around and I got so busy with this, I've kind of put that on the shelf for now. I can always go out. My wife and I can go out and do that. We're empty nesters now, and that's quite saddening to me, to be honest with you, because our daughter and son are away at college. But nonetheless, I've been very busy. You know, I just shot that show, as I said, I'd expand on that. With 1951 was the only time they played the Ryder Cup at Pinehurst, and there's only two people alive from that team, and that's Willie McRae, he's a caddy at Pinehurst, who's caddied at Pinehurst for 73 years, and Jackie Burke, who's 93-year-old, my mentor here in Houston. We put those two together again for the first time in 65 years. This week on the show, Willie came to Houston to see Mr. Burke and caddied for Mr. Burke to hit balls and talk about just gold on camera. Then we went back down to Pinehurst and finished that show with Peter Oosterhuis, who was a great CBS commentator, was a six-time Ryder Cupper on the Brit side. So we got some contrast there of what it was like for those guys to come over. That show right there will air, you know, just before the Ryder Cup. It was just one of those magic I'm a real history guy. I like going to towns. I like to know things about the town I go to. It's been really interesting to go around some of the courses that I've never been to.
Steve, you're obviously from Australia and now in Houston. You went to the University of Houston. We can talk about that in a second. I'll tell you why I want to talk about that in a second. But going back to the Australian thing, the Olympics just finished, and Jason Day, your fellow Aussie, decided not to play, as did a number of other top golfers. it seems like now, as the Olympics are finished, that the ones who went there said everything was fine. There wasn't really an issue. It might have been blown up for athletes in all different sports as well.
Yeah, they got
right.
The bad advice.
How do you feel about that? You feel like these guys kind of got those?
Tried to ruin the Olympics for golf before it even started. That's the fact. I mean, they all got some bad advice, obviously, about everything. I think Jordan Spieth's already come out and said, "Hey, I regret not going. I don't think his beef was Zika. I think it was security, but
security,
nonetheless."
Yeah.
The women who did not, you know, there was never a peep out of that camp, and to be honest with you, it couldn't have gone any better for the men. The men, the two best players, one, you know, fought it out in you know, epic battle. That won't be forgotten on this summer of golf. The lady players, the good players, are at the top. Basically, when you think Olympics, at least I do, I think of the best swimmer is probably going to win. And I think in this case, there was no great upsets. I think there was I think the cream came to the top, if you will. I think the boys overshot the deal in the beginning. I think they got bad advice from their agents that, whatever, whoever, and they jumped off board too early.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think they do. A number of them do regret it. We've got another one coming up. For a lot of these guys are young enough that in 2020 they could certainly make the team again. But you never know what's going to happen. I mean, this could have been the only chance for some of them. Although I will say this, Matt Kuchar took advantage of it. It might have been the only chance for Matt.
Yeah, he probably won't be around in 20 for that one. There'll be some more young guys coming through, I'm sure. But that was a great, you know, that was a great thing that he did. I mean, coming up, and that was that became a extra story, if you will. Not very often we're all focusing on who's going to be third. It was interesting. It was an interesting concept the way they delivered it, and I watched all of it. I thought it was fantastic.
The golf course looked great as well. We're talking with Steve Elkington, PGA Tour winner and the host of Secret Golf on Amazon Video. I asked you about the Barclays, and certainly is early on, but let me jump ahead to not only through the playoffs, but you have the Ryder Cup. First of all, my question is, for an Aussie who doesn't have a chance to play in the Ryder Cup, do you follow it? Do Aussies follow it? Do people from other parts of the world follow it, even if their countries can never play in it? You did care about it when you were growing up and everything?
Absolutely. I mean, Australians will watch two flies crawl up a wall if there's a match. that's a fact. You know, I pull for individuals. Seems like I've had friends that are on the Ryder Cup on both sides that I've pulled for in their matches. It seems to me that for some unknown reason that the Europeans have this giant amount of momentum on their side, and the Americans, for whatever they're doing, they can't get any momentum. They're good, obviously, on paper or on just rankings. America is probably the stronger team, possibly, maybe not, but either way, it's a coin flip. They've not been able to get together mentally to, like they have in the President's Cups against us. They seem to have the momentum in those things. So it's a very odd dynamic. I don't know if this is going to be the year or not. There's a lot of young players on the Euro team, and there's a few of the older guys may trickle into the American team, but there's some new faces. And to be quite honest with you, I like when it shuffles through and you get to see, you know, the newer guys coming on to see what they're going to do, whether it's either side, you know, see how they're going to cope, to be honest. I mean, we've seen a lot of these guys, what they've done. Now let's see some of the new guys come in and see what they can do.
I've got another question for you. Observing, we were talking about Jordan Spieth and his problems with his driver. What about the other one of the top three that everybody seems to mention? That's Rory. It seemed like when he was number one, and now it seems like a while ago, that he was never going to give that up. He was so dominant, hit the ball long, just a great all-around game.
I think
and a great makeup. What's up with it now? Is that what you think it is?
Bored. I think he's bored. When I look at Rory McIlroy, I see he's bored. He doesn't get off to good starts in the tournament, and then he shoots 65 on the Sunday, and he can't wait to get out of town and go off and do whatever. But to be honest with you, you know, that happens on the tour. I mean, Jack Nicklaus, you know, had five children, no nannies, none of that. He was able to keep that focus, and I know myself when it's hard to do that. And he's another one that skipped the Olympics. He made a bad scene as he left and said that I'm doing this for me. Or, you know, it was all just very odd. I think he'll ramp up on this deal. He's a kind of a plays up kind of guy once he gets going. I really think the guy's bored. I think he hasn't swung the club. We all have seen so much of Rory McIlroy. We know that he swings back and he shifts it to the inside ever so slightly when he's on, and that shift's gotten a little bit bigger, and he's hit a few loose shots and he's putted poorly. But to be honest with you, I think he's really got his eye on that Grand Slam, which is the Masters, and I just don't see it in his eyes right now.
Does it also make you appreciate even more, if you needed more appreciation for Tiger, how he could, because a lot of these guys are trying to be, and people say, oh, here's the next Tiger, and yet none of them are really at this point coming close. For Tiger to get the focus and to do the things he did at his young age and keep it going for well over a decade, does it make you appreciate how good Tiger really was when he was at his best?
I think yes, but I think Tiger was the most poorly written about athlete in his time, as when you compare it to someone like Michael Phelps. Phelps in the pool is the best swimmer in the pool, and hardly anyone could get near him. Tiger was the best swimmer in the pool, and hardly any of us could get near him. And he was so much better. And the press kind of all those years said that the other guys couldn't step up. I mean, imagine if we were talking about these swimmers as saying, well, you know, he's good enough, but he can't quite get enough courage to swim as fast as Phelps, etc. Tiger was just such a gifted physical player. And when he was on, he had that rare combination where he could play, hit it far, hit it straight, and focus, and had, like, neck-breaking, like, he would want to break your neck, and then he'd want to stomp on you some more. Like, he wasn't done beating you when he beat you. I mean, he was that amazing combination of athlete that just, he never got tired of beating you, and the more he piled on, the better for him. All things come to an end, however. We don't know what's going to... We haven't seen the end chapter of that book written yet. We've all seen the beginning and the middle. We don't know what's going to happen yet. But, yeah, I mean, Tiger Woods, I mean, give me a break. The guy won 76 tournaments or something, 18. How many majors he got? 14?
14? Yeah. We all lose count, don't we? Hey, before I let you go, Steve, you mentioned Houston, your alma mater, your son's at Houston. I'm in Dallas, so right in the heart of Big 12 country. Are you hoping that your school gets into the Big 12? That's the talk now that Houston will be joining.
It sounds better. It's only the Big 10, so there's room for two. I mean, it doesn't sound like we should be in there. You know, I used to long for the old Southwest Conference days when we used to play, you know, Texas and SMU and TCU. That was a great old days. And now Texas is not playing against A&M. It's just unforgivable in my mind. Yes, we have a really big game coming up. Everyone's going to be watching University of Houston play Oklahoma next Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
Right.
I don't want to say things swing on that, but we had Tillman Fertitta, our president, on the board yesterday, gave $20 million to U of H for the basketball arena. So we're pretty poised. I think, just to answer your question, honestly, I would say Houston would be a great addition to the Big 12 because we have such an international school. Why, just like when Yao Ming played for the Rockets, why not involve the rest of the earth to come down and watch the Big 12? They keep thinking, oh, we're going to take away Baylor's recruiting in Texas and A&M. Mate, I'm thinking more of the world from a Big 12 standpoint.
Well, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good for the conference, and I actually think from the people I talk to up in this area that Houston's a pretty much a shoe-in. But it will be interesting to see what happens in that OU game because Oklahoma's number 3, Houston's number 15. It's a great way to kick off college football. Yeah,
We got big speed, big defense. So, you know, we can play in these games. You know, we went down to Florida State. We ran through them like a Jamaican track team. So,
How long did it take you to get into American football when you came to school?
Well, I've been
in Houston
here so long. You know, when you're rooming next to these guys in the dorms and stuff, you get into it pretty quick. You know, I've grown up with a lot of these guys. I was in school, if you can believe this or not. I was in school with Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler lived down the hall from us. We won 3 national championships when we were there. I had Carl Lewis lived in our dorm. He was 7-time Olympian, lived in our dorm with us. It was just an amazing time to be at U of H, and I still see those guys. Carl's still the track coach at U of H. I see Akeem and Clyde around town. It's awesome, and we talk about those days. And I actually think we're coming back pretty quick. We're looking good, mate, on the football and the golf. Everything's coming around for U of H.
Perfect, perfect. All right, Steve Elkington, host of Secret Golf. If you want to catch it, pick it up on Amazon Video. And a very interesting, very exciting, informative show that you'll be entertained and really enjoy it. And continued success with the show itself and your occasional rounds of golf with your son, Steve. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Steve Elkington, host of Secret Golf on Amazon Video. Again, it's a new world we live in. You can get content just like we do, Frank. We our show gets out there.
I've been watching it.
But a lot of different ways that you can get content, whether it's audio like ours or video. It's just not the three channels we all used to think there was, or even our kids only had 50 channels. Well, now there's gazillions of channels, and even in venues, like I said, you can watch Google and Apple and Amazon that aren't normally distributors of content. They're on there now.
Let me tell you, I was watching it while you were doing the interview. I pulled it up on my phone, Amazon Video. I have the Amazon Echo. Just bought it yesterday. I'm an Amazon fan. Amazon should be a fan of ours, by the way.
What would Echo be, Frank? What is an Echo? What is that? What is
it? The Amazon Echo. I talked to it. I asked it yesterday. I won't
it's
say
your
the
new
name
wife, isn't it? It's your new wife.
Well, no, she said you like this because you boss it around. Because I tell it what to do. A couple of friends had it, and I said, I got to get this thing. So I go online. 2 hours later, I buy it. 2 hours later, it's delivered to my door from Amazon. 2 hours. Free delivery. Right?
Amazing.
I hook
Amazing.
It, I plug it in, turn it on, pull up my iPad, configure it very quickly, simple, easy setup. And I told it, I won't say the name, but it's Alexa.
Yeah.
I don't want it to go off here. But I said, the name, Alexa, play Golf Talk America on TuneIn. And it went, okay, boom, I'll play you the latest episode of Golf Talk America on TuneIn. Bam. And here comes Tim Matthews into my living room again.
Yeah.
So,
more than
I ask it the weather and traffic, and it'll control your lights in your house, your door locks. It can do all sorts of stuff.
It's
a
cool.
neat device.
Yeah.
But Amazon Video, I had not had it. So I signed up for Amazon Prime yesterday and all that stuff. So I have Prime now, which you can – they'll deliver stuff in 2 hours. I know you get your dog food, I believe, from Amazon.
I seriously
all
do.
Set up.
Yeah.
And Amazon Video, and it's really cool. I'm going to get the Fire TV today because I can watch that. I think I can get the Amazon Video through Fire TV, and I'll just hook it up to my smart TV downstairs.
I don't care what you say, Frank. I think this Amazon company is going to be around for a while. I know you think that they're just fly by night, but I think they got something there.
Well, I have Apple TV in one of the bedrooms here. So I have Apple in one bedroom. I'm going to have Amazon in another one. And we're Golf Talk America, by the way. I mean, you know where we live. We live on PGAtour.com/podcast, but as well on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. We're everywhere. I mean, we're absolutely everywhere and growing. So, the technology's there now. There's no reason for our listeners not to go buy an Amazon Echo. Plug in GTA for your special discount. And, no, they're not our sponsor. I'm kidding. But you just tell it. You want to listen to Golf Talk America? Tell it, and it'll play Golf Talk America for you. So you can hear all of our episodes without having to do anything. You don't have to go to your computer. Don't have to go to your iPhone, iPad, Amazon Echo. Of course, the PGA Tour wants you to go to pgatour.com/podcast, as do we, and listen to our show there, too. So don't stop going to pgatour.com/podcast.
Hey, by the way.
Don't stop.
Don't stop that. Don't stop.
No.
We have now a four-way tie for the top of the leaderboard at the Barclays, and that is Johnny Vegas still at 2-under, is at 5-under for the tournament. Ryan Moore, 3-under on his early second round here. Just through 5 holes, Ryan Moore is 3-under in the first 5, so he is also 5-under for the tournament. And then Reed and Laird still have yet to tee off. They finished yesterday at 5-under, so those four are right now on top of the leaderboard. And I'd mentioned the struggles of Jordan Spieth. They are still there, meaning he is 2 over. He was 2 over after the first 3 holes today. He's now through 5 holes, and he is still 2 over on his round today, but also 2 over for the tournament. So that's what can happen. A lot of great golfers, Mickelson and Johnson and Day, Fowler, still haven't even teed off yet, so a lot of golf yet to be played. But they're playing at Bethpage Black, and there's a sign up there that tells you if you're going to be playing this course, the black course, which is what, of course, these guys are playing, you better bring your A game and expect to lose a few dozen golf balls. They tell you that ahead of time so that if you're a little bit, then you'll go to one of the other courses. It's tough even if you're one of the top players in the world. These guys are having a hard time. If the wind blows a little bit like it did yesterday and they're saying today, it's going to be playing tough for these guys.
Well, it's, you know, you guys said 7,700 yards, whatever. Yeah, from the back. I mean, French Lick is over 8,000 from the back. But they're playing it today, I believe, 74-68. I believe that's what they're playing it to today.
And the thing is about Bethpage, it's a lot of carries. So if you watch, you'll see there's a lot of almost seaside-looking golf course there where they've got the sandy dunes and the high grasses blowing and stuff. So it almost looks like, certainly it's not, but it almost looks like a seaside course. So if you hit into that stuff, that's where the big numbers can sometimes kick up. But some of these tee boxes, you have to carry it 260, 270 to get to the fairway. So that's why they tell the guys if
sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you. I can't remember the player, but on number 10, the carry is just that, what you're talking about. And there's a walking path right down the middle, and players were saying, yeah, well, I can't hit it that far, so I'm aiming for the middle of that walking path.
Yeah, good luck.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's a tough course. Yeah. And to sleep in your car. Why, people sleep in their car there.
I know.
I mean, how do you –
because
move.
They have to get – it's a public course. It's a public golf course, so for people in that area, New York and in Long Island, whatever, if they want to play there – they have to get on the list, and that happens in the morning. So they'll spend the nights Friday night to get up on Saturday at 4 a.m. or whenever the marshal gets there, and you get your name on the list. And then they say, okay, your tee time is 11:58. So you're up at 5. You put your name on the list. You go back to your car and go back to sleep so that you can get up for your 11 o'clock tee. That's what people will do to play at this golf course. I can't imagine ever doing that, but that's what they do.
Why don't I just pay money to and walk up to Sylvester Stallone and call him a bad name just to get beat up? I mean, that's the same difference.
You know? Yeah, seriously. I don't know. That's for the privilege of going and shooting a 110, right, or something. So it's like, thank you very much. Worse. Here's your money. It's pretty reasonable, too. It's kind of like Torrey Pines and some of the other public courses. If you're local, I think they were saying if you're local resident, I think weekdays it's under $75. Weekends, really? I think it's maybe around $75, $80, something like that, which is really reasonable considering you get to play in the same course the pros do. That's not very often you can do that. So,
well, don't you remember when Tiger said when they had the Open there? Tiger said, "You take a club player with one handicap, single digit handicapper couldn't break 100 on this golf course."
Yeah, yeah. And I believe it because it is, and you see it even with the pros, and it happens to you and me and everybody else. You can play, if you're a decent golfer, you can play a few holes pretty well. You just can't play 18, and it kind of gets to you after a while that you're thinking, wow, I'm kind of hanging, I'm doing, and then it kind of slowly trickles. Yeah, that's how a guy who normally could shoot 70s on any golf course could shoot 100 there because you're playing okay until the fatigue sets in, the frustration, the I can't believe I'm in another one of these bunker, you know, all those things. And suddenly the sevens and eights start adding up on that scoreboard. And, you shoot a one or two.
In my game, when the wheels come off, it's like I'm driving an 18-wheeler because 18 wheels fall off.
I mean, all at once.
Everybody thinks that because we do this, Tim, that we're great golfers. You're good. You're a really good golfer. Bobby Raymond, our producer, is a very, very good golfer. I used to be a decent golfer until I started doing this. I spend more time getting ready for the show and doing shows and doing the technical things. I don't get to play anymore. And when I do, it's usually a pro-am or pro celebrity tournament where you go out in a scramble and you try stuff you shouldn't even try. You're swinging out of your shoes. You're trying
to
shot.
You play from the up tees. And I mean, it kind of takes away from the challenge of it. Yeah, so...
No, I'm looking for a new instructor. So for anybody listening out there, Butch, Hank, David, somebody, I need a new instructor. I need help. Somebody help me, please. Frank at golftalkamerica.com. Send help.
keep an eye on the Barclays today. It should be a lot of fun to be watching. It's not a major, but it's kind of got the feel of a major because it's the top golfers, top 125, and the conditions are every bit set up like it would be for a major. So these guys are having as much golf course as they could ever want. So should be fun.
FedEx playoffs, baby. FedEx playoffs.
Round two today.
Here we go.
We are out of time. I want to remind everybody that if you want to contribute to the tournament that I'm putting together on Monday, and of course you may not be able to be in McKinney, Texas to play in that, but the name of the website that you can go to and contribute, and all the money is very needed and appreciated. It's all helping the families of the five police officers that were tragically killed in Dallas about a month ago, and money's going right to their families. Go to leaderboardeventstexas.com, leaderboardeventstexas.com, And you can contribute $10, $5, $20, whatever you can would be appreciated. And you can do that whenever you want to do that, even after the golf tournament's over on Monday. And all the money will go right to those families. So hopefully you can help out in any kind of way you can. The other golf tournament that we started the show with is the golf tournament at Grand Cypress that Brendan Sweeney and Holly Gagan and Stuart Appleby and a lot of other people are participating in. And that's helping the victims of the Orlando tragic shooting. Sorry, we've got so much bad stuff going on in our world, but it happened. That was back on June the 12th. And that money is also going to the families of the victims of that tragic shooting. Their website is golfunited.org. Golfunited.org. You can do the same thing there. You can contribute. Maybe give $20 to each one of them to this tournament I'm doing and the one that Brendan's participating in as well. And all that money would add up and certainly be appreciated. So we appreciate you for listening to us today. Good luck to everybody. Round two of the Barclays for Bobby Raymond, Frank Bassett, Brendan Sweeney, Holly Gagan, and Steve Elkington. I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks so much for being with us. And please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.